The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding sex. Overview. Sexual lovemaking results in a massively powerful spiritual force, in massively powerful spiritual forces, which are little understood and therefore largely ignored by all sides of the spectrum of believers and unbelievers. Sexual lovemaking was very carefully and thoughtfully crafted by the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and should therefore be treated with respect as a very precious gift. We will look at what should be done by a woman who discovers she has a virgin's covenant with a man other than the man she is living with as a partner. We will start by noting that sex is a fundamental element of being human, and then note that sexual intercourse is an extremely powerful spiritual act. We will talk about the Virgin's Covenant and the One Flesh Covenant. We will note that women are spiritually and intellectually equal to men, and that we should treat women tenderly and men should treat women tenderly and make love considerately. We will speak about the 7 days of consummation and that there are 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. We will discuss adultery. I present a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. And finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis of what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are at least three podcast websites there. So we're going to talk about Article 2021-1102, the essence of my message regarding sex. Just by the way, if you take that sequence number that I give you, 2021-1102, and you write it 2021.11.02, and you search in the article search on the website, you'll find the corresponding article. Sexual lovemaking results in massively powerful spiritual forces, which are little understood and therefore largely ignored by all sides of the spectrum of believers and unbelievers. Sexual lovemaking was very carefully and thoughtfully crafted by the Almighty Creator, whose name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and should therefore be treated with respect as a very precious gift. Fundamentally, what follows is addressed to believers, although most of the principles apply equally to unbelievers. If you find yourself getting offended, I ask you to reconsider. This really is important. Fundamentally, sexual lovemaking is the highest spiritual act that human beings can perform after worship of the Creator. But most believers do not know how to do this well. The series of articles is intended to address this shortcoming. Following the major components of sex and sexuality, which in my experience are fundamental to understanding the sexual nature of human beings. Number one, sex is a fundamental element of being human. Without sex, there is no reproduction, and human beings would die out. Sexual reproduction is a very carefully designed mechanism for ensuring diversity and sustainability. Accordingly, one must recognize that sexuality and sexual reproduction and the associated sexual desire, sexual lovemaking, etc., are intrinsic and fundamental elements of being human. This article seeks to make visible the full extent to which sexuality is central to human existence on Earth. Sex is intended to be highly pleasurable, and we have a huge number of nerve endings and mental and emotional drivers that exist only to help us enjoy sexual lovemaking and desire it. Sexual lovemaking is intended to create a powerful, unbreakable bond. Every time a man or woman experiences orgasm, they inject part of their spirit that bonds with their partner. Folks, there's a lot of wrong thinking about sex, ranging from vows of celibacy, which have no basis in anything that the Almighty holds clear. Think about it. Father created us in such a way that we could enjoy sex, so we could have children and procreate. And then people say that the highest form of relationship with the Almighty is to go without sex. Folks, it doesn't make any sense. If you go without sex, there won't be any children. Everybody will die out. So if you go to the logical extreme, which says that we all get really religious and we all take vows of celibacy, in 100 years, there will be no human beings left because we won't have procreated. Doesn't make any sense, folks. The satanic and demonic realm have orchestrated matters such that unbelievers may experience the full power of sex, whereas believers are frequently prudes and very inhibited sexually. Thus, learning about sex is very difficult for believers. hence the case study cited at the end of this article. Celibacy is not from Father. We were designed to live in loving family units with intense, uninhibited sexual congress. All religious teaching relating to celibacy is false and not from Father. Yeshua was celibate for very specific reasons that do not and have never applied to any other believer, and have never applied and will never apply to any other believer. Folks, Yeshua was celibate because if he joined to a woman, there would have been an exchange of demons from the woman to him. He would have been not able to live a life without sin. And when he was taken captive and beaten and what have you, his wife would probably have been equally badly treated. And she would have had to endure seeing him die. It was bad enough for his mother. That's the reason Yeshua was celibate. Please don't subscribe to any teaching which tells you that because Yeshua was celibate, if you want to have a relationship with Father, you need to be celibate. It's just not on. We're intended to enjoy sex, folks, within marriage. Loneliness leads to unwise socialization, which leads to unwise sexual unions. We were not designed to live alone. We were designed to live in caring, loving relationships with lots of cuddling, kissing, lovemaking, communing, etc. Marriages where this is missing will eventually almost always end up on the rocks. Family unit where man and woman or women are tightly one flesh and in harmony will be very prosperous, and a family unit where the members are not in harmony will be in lack and will ultimately fail. Note that a person on their own is relatively weak spiritually. Particularly, a man needs at least one woman in strong covenant in order to prosper. A single woman can request Yah to be her husband and to cover her and protect her, and can therefore be very strong. For reasons discussed later, the predominant situation for believing women is to live without an earthly husband. And there's an answer to that, and that is for women believers to get into relationship with other women believers. But again, that's not my core point. Folks, we are programmed sexually. The answer to infidelity, etc., is to have a strong sexual relationship in your covenant union, in your marriage. If you don't have a strong sexual relationship, it will eventually happen that one or other or both will find others who will give them that strong sexual relationship, and things will fall apart. We'll get into adultery, broken homes, and all sorts of things which Father never intended. Please don't buy into the lie that if you're a believer, you should not enjoy sex. You should enjoy sex with your life partner, not outside of your union. Then sexual intercourse is an extremely powerful spiritual act. Sexual intercourse involves spirit-to-spirit contact between the parties engaged in the sexual act, with associated very powerful forces at play. Sexual lovemaking, in which both parties give themselves freely and considerately, causes a spiritual force which we call love to come into existence. More correctly, this is chesed in Hebrew, meaning covenant love, agape in Greek, or agape, but focus on chesed Hebrew, as described in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 10. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, in brackets, love never dies. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. The key point here is the first part of verse 8. Love never fails. More accurately, love never dies. If you engage in sexual lovemaking with somebody else, be it male, female, male with female, male with male, female with female, love will come into existence. And the more you make love, the more love there will be, the stronger you will be drawn to each other, and the more painful it will be if you separate. It's designed to keep us together with our life partner for life. So the more you have sex in a loving relationship, the stronger your relationship will become. This is really important. Love never dies. Do not make love to someone you do not intend to spend the rest of your life with. You'll be torn apart if they leave you or you try and leave them. This phenomenon leads to a lot of spiritual confusion in those that fornicate. The power of sex is something that is well understood by Satanists and witches and is used very effectively by them. The spiritual forces at play here are real, whether you believe it or not. Hiding this from believers is one of Satan's most successful frauds. The Red Valentine's heart is a symbolic representation of the aroused woman's vulva, and therefore has strong sexual connotations, which should be kept in mind in using that symbol. Only use it with someone you're in a sexual life covenant with. Folks, the key thing here people who are involved in pornography, etc., have really good sex in fornication. And the lie is that if you're a believer, you should not have good sex, but you should stay true to your partner. It's a contradiction in terms. If you want to have a really good marriage, a really good relationship, then have really good sex within your covenant relationship. Then the virgin's covenant. When a man penetrates a virgin and ruptures her hymen with shedding of blood, this is a covenant act whereby in the court of heaven, covenant union, what we typically call marriage, comes into existence. I write here with regard to believers. For unbelievers, the court of heaven is not interested in. The virgin's covenant is unbreakable by human beings, and it locks the man and woman into a lifetime legal agreement, which locks down whatever they have agreed or not agreed at the moment the hymen is ruptured. Thus, whatever was in place becomes the basis of their relationship, whether they like it or not. So if the man was in submission to the woman, then that is the state for the rest of the union. If the man has multiple sexual partners, then the woman has by default consented to this. Likewise, if the woman has multiple sexual partners, and so far on for all other facets of the relationship. See the article, The Essence of the Virgin's Covenant, for a detailed discussion of this. Where a woman is no longer with the man who took her virginity, and there is no way that he will take her back, if she's a believer, she must do all she can to contact him and ask him to take her back, and it's only if he refuses, which is commonplace, then she can ask Father Yah for a divorce. Folks, if you were a man who went around taking virginity as a trophy hunting thing, and you're now a believer, you've got a lot of cleaning up to do, my friend. You need to contact each of those women and offer to take them as life partner. And if she accepts, then you're responsible for her for life. You're responsible for her anyway because of the Virgin's Covenant. If she refuses, you can go to Father and ask for a divorce. If she accepts, you have to live with it. So don't go around taking virginity. More importantly, make sure your children understand, your sons understand, that they should not go around trophy hunting. Both male and female children need to understand sex is sacred only within marriage. In the one flesh covenant, the male semen contains all the elements of blood, and therefore male ejaculation into the vagina of a woman seals a similar covenant relationship to that described above, albeit somewhat less contractually strong. where this takes place in conjunction with the taking and giving of virginity, it is particularly strong. At the same time as physical ejaculation of sperm, there's a spiritual ejaculation of the spirit of the man into the woman, such that an unbreakable spiritual bond is formed between the man and the woman. This is the one flesh bond. The more times the man ejaculates in the woman, the stronger the bond becomes, until they are so strongly connected that they know each other's thoughts, and there's a massively powerful connection between them. If the man ejaculates in the mouth, vulva, or anus of the woman, a weaker bond is formed. Where the woman is spiritually a virgin, this is a betrothal bond. If she's already joined to another, then this is adulterous. Ejaculation elsewhere on the body of the woman forms a weaker one flesh bond and does not lead to betrothal. Folks, this is another element of what is designed to hold male and female together in a life partnership. There are many facets to what happens in sexual lovemaking, all of them designed to bond the partners together for life, to create something that is hugely powerful that the satanic realm wants to deny to believers. When a woman climaxes in contact with a man, a portion of her spirit is likewise ejaculated. If he's in her vagina at the time, then a full-strength bond is formed. Simultaneous orgasm is particularly powerful. If she reaches her climax through manual or oral stimulation or contact with another part of the man, then a weaker bond is formed. If two women engage in sexual intercourse with orgasm, then a one flesh bond is also formed at the betrothal level. If two men engage in sexual intercourse anally or orally, then a one flesh bond is formed at the betrothal level, albeit that this is adultery. Adultery is a sexual union between two men, whether via a commonly joined woman or two men together. This is forbidden for believers. This law is irrelevant to unbelievers. I've seen cases where indignant, believing people go on crusades against same-sex marriage, losing complete sight of the fact that the commandment with regard to adultery only applies to believers. If unbelievers want to get into homosexuality and homosexual marriage, it's their choice, folks. They're not going to heaven. They're not part of Father's family. He's not concerned what they do, so why are you stressing about it? The only thing that's worth stressing about for an unbeliever is that they're going to die and become demons or ancestor spirits. That's the only thing that you want to worry about with an unbeliever. And if you're not going to do something about that, let them be. Let them do what they want to be. There's no point in making yourself a stench to them. Somehow they know that what you're saying is not valid in their case. Note that in conjunction with the one flesh bond, there's transfer of demons, replication of demons between sexual partners, soul ties, friendship ties, etc., all of which have spiritual significance and which will hold a legitimate couple or man and with several women together, and which have to be cut off in the event of divorce, in the case of cleaning up after fornication, in the event of repenting of the fornication. Once a one-flesh covenant bond is formed, the woman comes under the covering of the man. This is a spiritual umbrella, which shelters the woman from spiritual attack, provided she's in alignment with the man. This frees the woman up to be a powerful support to the man. Note that vows in church or court are only valid if the woman is a virgin. Otherwise, the conditions that prevailed at the time of consummation are upheld in the court of heaven, and the vows in church or court are meaningless. The one flesh bond gets bigger and bigger the more two people make love. As it gets bigger, the power of the orgasms gets bigger. The power of the whole sexual experience gets bigger. The relationship gets stronger. The spirit-to-spirit communication between the partners gets stronger. they become a formidable spiritual force. It's something that the satanic and demonic realm fear, and they've gone out of their way to get religious people to be prudes when it comes to sexual lovemaking within life partnership or marriage. Then women are spiritually and intellectually equal to men. I've been deeply grieved by recent reports of women in certain countries being forced into marriage against their will, having their education and commercial activity constrained, and generally being treated as second-class citizens. It is vital to understand that for believers in the sight of the Creator, men and women are entirely equal. They simply have different principal roles. In particular, they're intellectually equal. In this context, it is vital to understand that there are roughly 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers on earth today and in high ranks in heaven. See the article Single Woman Believers 7 Times Men, and also 2017-1202 Demographics of the Kingdom of Yah Elaboration on the website. Folks, if you're a man who has a bad attitude to women and you're at some level a believer, you're going to get a nasty shock when you make it to heaven after you've been judged for your bad attitude. According to Rick Joyner, there are far more women on thrones in heaven than men. So as a man, if you're sort of middle of the road and you make it to heaven, you could find yourself taking orders from a woman for the rest of eternity. And irrespective, you're going to be judged severely for your bad attitude. Women and men are equal in the sight of Yah. It's entirely possible for a woman to be president, prime minister, chief executive, etc. Women are not second-class citizens, and it grieves Father deeply that some male believers treat women this way. That said, many women choose to align themselves with their man and in support of their man. That is entirely acceptable and a matter of personal choice. First prize is for man and woman, or women, to be harmoniously engaged in commercial activity together. It is entirely possible for women to have powerful sexual relationships with other women within a committed covenant relationship. So legal marriage between women is entirely permissible for believers. Marriage between male believers is forbidden. Again, folks, I said this last week. If you are 2 male believers in a sexual relationship and you become aware of this and you want to continue, do so just knowing that you're going to go to hell for a while to pay the price for your adultery. Otherwise, stop the sex, live together in a chaste manner. But it's about choice, folks. It's not about other people coming down on you like a ton of bricks. It's between you and Father. If you're sinning, you're the one who's going to go to hell. So stop worrying about your neighbor. Stop worrying about other people. Deal with your sin. Deal with your issues. Get close to Father and leave other people to fight their own battles with their sin. The chances are, if you have 2 male believers in a sexual relationship, as they get closer to Father, they will just naturally back off the sex. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make their lives miserable. Just leave them alone. Then treat women tenderly and make love considerately. That said, it is appropriate for men to treat women who are joined to them tenderly and make love to them considerately. It is incumbent on the woman to do the same, but the issue is generally a case of men treating women badly, often because they've never been taught how to treat women well. See the case studies referenced at the end of this article for examples of how to treat women well, including sexually. There's so much joking about women in a disparaging way. There's so much. I've been grieved this year at some of the press reports, some of the things that have been happening, particularly in Afghanistan, but it's happening in other countries too. The way women are treated, it's shocking. It's really, really shocking. And it's not father's intention that women should be treated like that. And, you know, and one gets the impression that some of the men doing this stuff are actually believers at some level, or they claim to be believers. And there's a lot that's done in the name of religion, which is off the mark, saying that only men can be ministers, priests, pastors, whatever. Folks, it's just not it. It's not true. Father created us to be equal. Yes, we treat each other differently. Yes, we have different strengths and weaknesses. But at the end of the day, a man should treat a woman with respect and tenderly. Please, if you're not doing that, it's time to shape up on that score. A corollary to this is that where a woman is treated badly, or where a woman is contentious or fault-finding, this causes spiritual distress to the man, which is likened in the Bible to rottenness in the bones. So if a woman is treating a man badly, the first place to look is to see whether he's treating her badly. Proverbs 12:4. A worthy woman is the crown of her husband, but a disgraceful wife is as rottenness in his bones. As a general principle, women will respond very favorably to a man who treats them with respect and tenderly. In other words, a gentle man. Men and women in covenant union were created to treat one another with respect, intense desire, passion, and tenderness. There's a huge amount of wrong thinking on this topic. Folks, one of the things you need to understand is if you are a man treating your woman badly, it will create spiritual dissonance, which will come back to you as a feeling of discomfort. And the more you treat her badly, the worse the feeling is going to get. There are situations where women are unfaithful, etc., in their own right. But if you treat your woman badly, don't be surprised if she finds another man. Don't be surprised if you feel grim and uncomfortable and distressed. The answer is treat her with love and respect. Make love to her gently and tenderly. Give her lots of orgasms. Don't worry about your own orgasm. The 7 days of consummation. Following consummation, there's a 7-day window during which the spiritual realm is particularly supportive of the relationship between man and woman, or between two women. During this period, the parties should make love as frequently and intensely as possible. This will result in the strongest possible one-flesh bond and love bond, and will put them in position for a strong, robust, and highly sustainable lifetime union. In such a case, failure of the relationship at a later date is highly unlikely. When I talk about 7 days of lovemaking, I'm talking about making love 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. I'm talking about that number of male ejaculations in the woman in one day, and do that for 7 days. What you'll find is if you make love intensely throughout a day, by the time you've reached your 5th or 6th orgasm, it will be massively powerful. You move into a completely different space, a completely different dynamic in the sexual experience, which is a step up that you will never lose if you treat it with respect. If you do that every day for 7 days, you will be so strongly bonded together. You will have such a strong one flesh bond, such a strong love bond. You will have got to know each other intimately and well. Nothing will shake that relationship. Having a party, getting drunk, having some sort of weak insipid consummation and then going off sightseeing for a week is not what this is about. All of this is designed by the satanic realm to lead people astray and keep them from having a strong relationship. The forces of darkness hate a believing man and woman with a strong one flesh bond, strong love bond, phenomenally powerful spiritual entity. Then there are seven times more women than men in the body of true believers, as noted above. There are roughly seven times more women than men, depending on. If you do as I did many years ago when I first became aware of this, visit different assemblies, churches, synagogues, wherever, you will find the more legalistic the assembly, the more men there are, the more spirit-led, the more spirit-filled, the more women there are. The most extreme case I saw was a case in South Africa where there were 10 women to every man, a very sensitive pastor, very gentle spirit. In this context, given that most women cannot share their man, the reality is that believing women should not look for a husband unless father clearly brings them one. Note also that a woman should only join herself to a man who is closer to father than she is, which, since there are many more women close to father than men, means that most women should remain single. That said, it is important to note that Leviticus 18:22 states, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. For believers, sex between men is forgiven. There's nothing that says that sex between women in a committed relationship is forbidden. So it's entirely permissible for two or more women who are committed believers to establish a family unit in which they have a strong sexual relationship with no man. Really important to understand that. And as I said earlier, Rick Joyner reports that there are many more women on high thrones in heaven than there are men. Then adultery, we've touched on. As noted above, adultery is sexual union between two men, either two men joined directly together or two men through union with the same woman. This results in a spiritual short circuit between the two male bloodlines, and in the case of believers, it's an abomination in the sight of the Creator. Where such adulterous bonds exist, appropriate measures must be taken to repent and clean up and cut the ties that are formed. See the article Separation of Man and Woman on the website. In the case of unbelievers, the Creator is entirely indifferent. They can do what they like. Where a woman commits adultery against her man, a spirit of jealousy comes on the man, and he may get bad-tempered and even violent. Folks, adultery for believers is a big deal. Above, adultery for unbelievers, not an issue. They can do what they like. And don't tell me that that's a good reason not to become a believer, because you're missing the point totally. Become a believer. Get rid of all the spurious one flesh bonds, etc., and build a strong, enduring house with a woman or man that you find who believes and serves Yah at a level that's appropriate for you. So important, folks. And again, just to make the point here, sex between two men is no greater sin than sex of two men with the same woman, not necessarily at the same time. But if a man joins himself to a woman and then another man joins himself to her, they're effectively joining themselves to each other. So this thing of making a big thing of homosexual situations and totally condoning and turning a blind eye on true adultery is just off, folks. A woman who is one with more than one man will attract abuse because she's violating her covenant with one or more of those men. Women who've had previous sexual partners and enter into a committed relationship without cleaning up previous unions, as set out below, may well be treated badly and even violently. The answer is to clean up the one flesh bonds, etc. Fornication is random sex with varying partners and defeats all the above and leads to spiritual confusion and defeats Yah's intent. It is a gross abomination for believers. Note that where one has a constructive and considerate relationship with another person of the opposite gender, and where one or both persons are in a toxic or unloving union, the potential to fall in love is considerable. Exercise caution unless you're spiritually in a position where such attraction may legally, in the court of heaven, lead to a lifetime sexual covenant. In that case, negotiate terms and move to consummation quickly. So, folks, it's easy if somebody treats, if a man treats a woman well and she treats him well, it's easy to fall in love, particularly if one or both of them has a weak relationship at home. The answer to that is to deal with all the issues that I'm talking about here. Get to a place where you have really good sex. And if you don't know how to have really good sex, that's a discussion for another day. There's some articles on the webpage and a private page. If you email me, I'll tell you how to find them, which go into some fairly explicit discussion of that in a way that will help you. That's all for today. I'm going to wrap up now. I'll continue with this next week. Postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers near the top of the website. You are not a glove puppet. Yah is not going to take control of your life as a sort of puppet, puppeteer, as so many people teach and believe. It's not a case of Yah just living your life through you. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth. Not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly and effectively to earn your living. Folks, so, so important. So many people say all in Yah's time or all in God's time or God is in control. No. Father created us and put us in control or commanded us to be in control. We're not in control. Adam handed control to Satan. Yeshua regained control for those who believe through his covenant. But the virtually no believers understand that. And so the satanic realm is having a field day on the planet. It's up to you and me to turn that around. And that means you've got to apply your mind, apply your energies. And if you need income, you need to do that. Get a job. I get calls from people who are asking for money and they don't have a job. Folks, not going to work. What is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? I'm talking about a dialogue, folks, where he talks to you and you talk to him and discuss things and ask his opinion. Should I do this or should I do that? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you eat a piece of fruit and marvel at the intricacy of his creation? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you praise him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? Can you hear him enough that you would hear him if he told you that you were a friend? You're not going to make it to friend if you can't hear him. If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough, folks. This whole setup, the universe, the solar system, the galaxies, whatever, planet Earth, the sun, the moon, the sky, the animals, the plants, are all here to create a framework for him to create intelligent beings with the ability to make decisions to be his friends. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. If you are not in a place where you're talking daily to Father and have an intimate relationship with Him, you're missing the whole reason you're on earth. Wrapping up, key documents and a video on the main menu, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, available, transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts, or search on Google for quote Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. That's all along the top of the menu. Google search is particularly powerful. There are over 2,500 articles and over 1,000 web pages. Answers to a lot of your questions there. I encourage you to dip in. Benefit of nearly 30 years experience, 20 years of writing, over 9,000 A4 pages. Huge amount of information there to help you learn how to get close to Father and how to live your life. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, I made the point a few minutes ago that you exist with one purpose only, to be a friend of the Creator. And that if you are not a friend of the Creator, you're missing your life purpose. I want to stress to you, it doesn't matter if you're Indian or Asian or African or European or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, fat or thin, blonde, blue-eyed, black hair, brown eyes, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Satanist, whatever. Father created you to be His friend. It's available to you today to start the journey to become His friend. So, Father, James Robertson says, I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Please help me. There are prayers on the website to help you. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I